Welcome to the Disciple Making Jumpstart Training. If you've been with us this year, you know we've been going through a series where each talk kind of builds on the last talk. And we've been outlining a flexible framework for disciple making that covers four key areas. I'm going to let Anne kind of recap what we did last time when she comes up. But I am going to remind us of where we left off at our last session. Aaron Starr was in last month talking about ministry coaching, something he does very well. And he concluded by saying this. He reminded us that God promises to do even greater works through us, and that we need to coach our disciples in various types of ministry or service. Service to the poor, service to non-believers, which is evangelism. Using our spiritual gifts to serve the body of Christ. And ultimately, to become disciple makers ourselves. So that's just to orient us. And today we're going to hear from Anne Durrell, who's going to help us put all of those pieces together and give us a little bit more of a picture of what a normal disciple-making time can look like. I know there are a lot of different methods and strategies for disciple-making out there. Those are all good, valid. But Anne's going to show how this flexible framework can look in practice. And I think Anne is a really wonderful person to do that because she has decades of really great disciple-making experience through Dwell Community Church, and also has raised three kids who are like gung-ho in ministry, including one who's serving as a missionary overseas. She meets with tons of women and has, you know, mentored up young moms, and she currently leads a home group. So she's just in a really great spot to help us understand what this can look like. But before I bring her up, why don't we pray together for just a second? Lord, we're just so grateful to be here this morning and to be able to gather together and hear from you. Father, thank you for the way disciple-making changes lives, not the least of which is our own. Thank you, God, that you sent your son to teach us to be more like you in gentleness and humbleness of heart. And I pray, Lord, that as we consider this morning what disciple-making can look like in various contexts, that you would help us to see one thing you might be calling us to do, either to start, to stop, to change in our own ministry, that we can be more obedient to your call. Thank you for this lunch. Thank you for this fellowship. And thank you for Anne. Amen.
So I just click a button. Okay. All right. Great. Spacebar, this one. Okay. Hello. So glad to be here. I know this is going to seem like a strange verse, but just bear with me to choose to start with. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. This is a high calling for all believers. We are called to live our whole lives as a sacrifice for God. And I find that in discipleship time, so much of what I'm dealing with is my own identity issues and the identity issues of the folks I'm getting together with. I took a counseling class at our church several years ago, many years ago, and I was horrified to find that they asserted that our sense of self is hard baked into us by the time we are five, and that we spend our lives sort of chipping away at these old attitudes, thoughts, behaviors. And so I think that I spend so much time helping people and my own self deal with this. We have an enemy and a sin nature that is going to incline our hearts and our minds to our old selves. We have a culture that is filled with lies and noise. And so we really need each other to live out our new identity in Christ. We need each other to stand firm in the truth of who God is and who we are in Christ. We cannot do it alone. And the next verse I love. This year in BSF, we are studying exile and return. And one of the prophets that we studied is Zechariah. And I'd always heard this verse, but I have a new appreciation for it. So let me give you some background. Zechariah had a series of visions. And in one of his visions, he saw God talking to Zerubbabel, telling Zerubbabel that he was going to rebuild the temple. And what Zerubbabel saw was nothing but rubble, pure destruction. And in his heart, he was like, I cannot do this. It's insurmountable. And here is what God said. So he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might not nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. And I think any task that seems insurmountable, we have to remember that God is the one doing the work. What Rosie was saying at the beginning of that testimony, that the Holy Spirit has your back, and the Holy Spirit is actually doing the work. You are merely a conduit for what he is doing. And then the final verse I want to share is obviously one that is true to this. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." I am passionate about discipleship because of this verse. I understood that what God was calling me to is to be engaged in this. And I remember when it became clear to me that I was supposed to be doing this. The risen Christ was talking to his disciples. This verse has such meaning because it's the last command he gave them before he went. And the Greek for the word go literally means to traverse or travel or walk. So what he is saying is, as you are going, whatever phase of life you are in, wherever you are, whatever context, you should be discipling. And so I was convinced that I needed to be discipling, but I was a little scared, like, how do you go about that? Like, I have no idea. This seems a little hard. And so I was very lucky because I got to go hear our senior pastor at the time talk about what he called the flexible framework, which was what Rachel presented to us. And I remember thinking to myself, with this flexible framework and the Holy Spirit, I believe I can go and do this. And I began to pray for someone to disciple, and he brought a woman into my life. That is a prayer that God loves to answer. So here's the four elements of the flexible framework, just so you know. If you remember, prayer is vital. I can't say this enough. And Rosie talked about that. Prayer, prayer, prayer. Pray during the week for your disciple, discipler. Pray at the beginning of your time together. Pray during your time together. Kitty Allen calls this listening, double listening. You're listening to the Holy Spirit, and you're listening to the person you're meeting with. And then pray at the end, and then continue to pray for your disciple through the week. Prayer is vital. The word, discuss what you have been reading. The Bible or a book, the Bible as scripture is a great place to start. But this is where you learn about the insights that God has given to each of you about who he is and who they are. You learn about the ways in which he's been trying to mold their character. So the word is huge and super important. Then there's personal counseling. And when Lee talked about this, he talked about the opportunity to wade into the mess, that these are the Romans 12, 1 and 2 moments where we have an opportunity to hear what lies are they believing. What thoughts, attitudes, behaviors are hindering them from really following Christ with all their hearts, souls, and minds? What's hindering them and their relationships? What transformation needs to happen? And the ministry coaching that Aaron presented last week, this is the opportunity to help them figure out where God wants them to serve. How does he want them to use their spiritual gifts in the body? Where is he calling them to serve? And then also, who might he be calling them to disciple? Who's someone that he's put on their heart that he wants them to be building into? So our senior pastor, who has 50 years, more than 50 years at this point of discipleship under his belt, presented this, but he also presented some preferables, some things that he had learned over time that made this work better. The first is that life-on-life discipleship happens best one-on-one. That triads and quads can be effective, but in his experience, one-on-one was where the most spiritual transformation occurred. That meeting together for 90 minutes is preferable to 60 minutes. Again, God will work with what you have, but if you have the chance, 90 minutes is better. You can get more accomplished. Meeting weekly is preferable to meeting every other week, which I have found to be true in myself. There's something about that weekly, I don't know, it's very, very powerful. And regularly schedule a day, time, and place to meet so that it becomes part of your schedule is super important. Because if you try to do catch as catch can, it just sometimes gets lost in the shuffle. And so now I want to I will say, discipleship can happen anywhere. It can happen in a gym. It can happen in your living room. It can happen in your basement. It can happen in a coffee shop. I have a friend that disciples a quad of women over Zoom weekly, and it works. It's bearing fruit. So God will meet you where you are. God will meet whatever your needs are. God is going to be there with you. And so as I was praying to God about how best to structure this time, he put on my heart that we have a room full of really good disciplers who are meeting with a lot of different ages, demographics, and a variety of contexts. So I'm going to share two stories, but I am going to invite Rachel and Doug and Christopher to come up, and they're going to share some of their stories too about discipleship. So as I'm sharing, I'm going to share one where you can see that we got through kind of all four areas of the flexible framework and one where we did not. But you guys don't want to come up and join me? Okay. So for whatever reason, for a long period of time, God had me discipling young women with young children. And so I would meet this young woman that I'm going to be talking about today. She had kids in preschool. So she would drop her kids off at preschool, and then we would meet at a park. And ironically, we would walk. She loved to walk, which was great because I got exercise. We were out in the beauty of God's nature, and it was wonderful. So this particular day, we met. We prayed together as we walked, and then we jumped right into the Word. And I will say, one of the guys referenced that. If you don't get into the Word, it becomes a complaint session. The Word really helps you focus on what you need to be focused on. And I just carried a small notebook if I had notes. And we would talk about what each of us had learned. It was very much a give and take. It wasn't just her sharing, it was me talking about how the Lord had, you know, challenged me with that week's reading. And then the reading is really a jumping off point to getting into the next bit, because then we started to talk about relationships. We talked about how things were going in her marriage, there were some issues in the marriage at the time. So we talked through how maybe God was trying to minister to her there. We talked about kids and parenting. And she had also, then we moved into, she had a very large position in a local, volunteer position in a local ministry. So we talked about how that was going, how the Lord was using her to serve in that ministry. And then we finished up with talking about she was discipling another young woman who was really struggling with some parenting issues pretty profoundly. And this young woman and her husband were not in agreement on how to raise the kids, and it was painful to watch. I knew who this woman was. And so we really talked about, was there a book they could read? Was there scripture they could talk to? Could her husband get involved? I mean, we sort of brainstormed ways in which she could come alongside this woman more effectively. And then we prayed and we wrapped up. So you can see it happened very organically. We hit all four areas of the flexible framework, but I didn't have notes. I wasn't following. It just was an organic conversation. And she was building into me just as much as I was building into her. Story number two goes very differently. We met at the same park, but she got out of the car and I could tell from her demeanor that something was going on. She was really in distress. And so we prayed. And then I gently said, how are things in your marriage? And she fell apart. And so I just grabbed a bench. We hadn't gotten very far. We grabbed a bench so we could see each other eye to eye. I could touch her, pat her if we needed to. And I was praying. I was doing that double listening. I was praying to the Lord, like, show me what is going on here. Show me what to say. And I just started to ask her questions, drawing her out, affirming her where I could. Just listening was really all I was doing. And then she asked me, what should I do? And what the Holy Spirit had put on my heart at this time was, you need to move towards your husband, which brought a fresh round of tears. And so we counted the cost of not moving towards her husband. We counted the cost of moving towards her husband. We talked about what the conversation would look like. And then we talked through scripture. And we just, at the end, we had a long prayer. I gave her a huge hug. And then sent her on her way and just kept praying. And about 3 days later, she called me, and sort of the joy and the awe and the relief were palpable in her voice because it had gone so well. Now, these are good stories. There are bad stories I could tell, because you are only called to do what you are called to do. And sometimes pruning is hard. People don't like to hear what we have to say sometimes, what the Lord has put on our heart to bring out. But for the most part, discipleship is wonderful. But if you want to hear some bad stories, come up to me afterwards. I'm out of time.
I'm going to come up to you, Anne, and just be like, give me all the dirt.
The bad stories.
All right. So I, for a long time, mostly discipled younger women, and it was very similar to what Anne described. Kind of organically, we all knew why we were there. We had a set understanding of like what we're hoping to accomplish, this Bible study, talk about the deep things happening in life, you know, do some ministry coaching, pray together, that kind of thing. But I recently started working with middle schoolers. I'm kind of shifting my disciple-making focus to middle school girls. It's a different situation. Thank you. I need those blessings, sir. Keep them coming. So I have a spreadsheet to show you because I'm a dork, but I found that like the girls have absolutely no focus. They don't know why they're there. We're meeting after school, after work. Our brains are fried. It is like really hard to get them on the same page or focused. Monica's laughing because it's my daughter and her daughter, and it is a mess. So I made this spreadsheet because I'm like, I need to help myself. I need to know what I'm doing going in. So I've got like one thing. We're on a French fry tour because we got to do something fun. French fries are not expensive and everybody loves them. So we're gonna sample all the French fries in Columbus this semester. I figured out where we're going. We're gonna talk about like the homework from last time to try to get some accountability going. There's a passage we're gonna read, Romans 4. Yesterday, had to break the news what circumcision was. It was a dumpster fire. It was so hard to recover from that discussion. Their brains exploded. I know we have opportunity to talk about one thing from like, you know, the flexible framework. Either we're gonna talk about the Bible, we're gonna talk about prayer, I'm gonna coach maybe one aspect of ministry, or we're gonna do one personal counseling thing. We cannot do all four like I could with an adult. So yesterday we talked about service in the body of Christ. What does that look like? What are the needs that you're seeing in your, you know, friend group or in your Bible study? How can you meet those needs? What is God calling on you to do to be a contributor instead of a taker? Okay, what's the homework? We're going to write that down. We're going to talk about it next week. So I made a bunch, you know, I just kind of went through the whole semester and like, what's the area of focus? What are the discussion questions going to be? I write it down in a notebook, you know, every week so that I'm ready to go and I don't have to use any of my brain cells because the brain cells that I have are used completely focused to get the girls to stay focused. So I really had to pregame with this very fun spreadsheet. So if you want that, I can send it to you. But other than that, I think that's my time. And I know Doug, oh no, Doug has his own visual aid.
Yes, people call me Mr. Assessment, but I do like structure in terms of discipleship, and that's just how God's wired me. I'm learning how to be more organic and flexible. And so just leaning on the Holy Spirit when I go in, I've got an idea of where I'm going, but I'm also ready to let go of that if the Lord takes it in another direction. So I think the thing I feel God's called me to is more marketplace discipleship. People that are working in the marketplace, most of the people I work with go to different churches, and I'm doing cross-generational disciple making, which is kind of wild, where you've got younger people and older people in the same group. And the older guys are saying to like the 22-year-old, you are so wise beyond your years. I mean, you got this 22-year-old teaching the older guys, you know, and it's beautiful. And so the whole idea is coming alongside them to help them more intentionally to know Christ and to make him known. And the key word is intentional, because most of us have good intentions, but we're not intentional about growing. And I think the way that I look at it or start out is, where are they spiritually? Not where I want them to be, but where are they now? Where have they been? What's been their story? And then looking at this chart, the five different stages, you know, are they not a believer? I had one guy who was leading a small group at a big church, and turns out he didn't know Christ. Had the privilege of leading him to Christ, and now he went on to disciple other guys, which is, you know, amazing. I think the other thing is, you know, asking good questions to figure out where they are spiritually in their journey. So where have they been? That tells me a little bit about their history, but you know, they're sharing their testimony. When did they come to Christ? And you'll discover if they did or not. Then asking them, where are you now with your relationship with Christ? How would you rate that, you know, in terms of, you know, 10 being awesome and 1 being awful? And they pretty much tell it like it is. And then where do you want to be? So those three questions really help me to kind of zero in on where to start. And this chart helps. I just had a guy, he's a surgeon at Children's Hospital. And I mean, all these guys that I disciple, I didn't know previously. So God brings them to me. The surgeon, he was leading Ashley's Chicarella's Take Heart ministry. We were in a cancer support group, and he and his wife were facilitating. It was over, and it's like, now what's next? And so I was just wondering if this guy's ever been discipled. And he said, well, what is that? And I said, it's intentional growth. He said, I'd really be interested in that. He's got 5 kids. He's a surgeon at Children's. I mean, there's like no way. I meet with him every other week, and he's in my Thursday discipleship triad with a couple of young guys. And he makes it a priority. Now, we had to switch for tomorrow. Or no, today. It was supposed to be at 4, and he had 2 surgical cases that popped up. So, you know, I didn't say no excuse. I said, yeah, it's your kid, you know, you want him working on you. But that's, you know, we're starting basic level. He has self-identified it as an infant in Christ, and so we're going through foundations, which is looking at like the navigator wheel. It's the 4 different things that you need to do to grow. And so he's on one end of the spectrum. And then Joe, who's the 22-year-old student, was drugged to our group. Friday, we have a Friday discipleship group. He came reluctantly. He was half asleep most of the time. This is 4 years ago. Turns out, you know, he didn't show up, but turns out that he was actually suicidal. And his sister, who was involved in Crew, just happened to call him right when he was thinking about it. And she led him to Christ on the phone. This dude is now discipling other people. He's blowing away the older guys in the group. He's an example to them. And I have the privilege of meeting him every other Tuesday at Global Gallery. And then we have our group every week. So he's making that a priority. And he's just killing it. I mean, he's super zealous for Christ. So the things that I use... I use that chart. I use the personal discipleship profile. All these tools that I use are on the Columbus Discipleship Network. The thing about developing character, Christ-like character, and helping them to mature, big thing is all the groups and all the one-on-one time we do. What's your one word for the year? And, you know, what's got to go in my life? And asking God to really show us. So those are some of the things we use. We use the Fruit of the Spirit assessment.
Do you give this to someone to assess themselves?
Yeah. I have explain it to them, and then I hand it to them and said, where do you think you're at? And where do you want to be? And I said, well, that if you're interested, well, let's get together, you know, on a regular basis to be more intentional about your growth, both personal growth and ministry growth. And a big thing for me, if you know me, is finding out what their shape is. The big thing is I want everybody in my group to know what the spiritual gifts are. So kind of my mission statement is to raise up Christ-centered disciple makers who will minister for a lifetime out of their unique gifting. If they're using their gifts for a lifetime to minister, that's great. And each group is different. We're studying prayer, because we're weak at that in our Friday group. In the Thursday group, they're all young dads. We're studying parenting by Paul David Tripp, and they're co-leading it. They're teaching each other. And so, anyway, I'm probably way over time.
I think one of the consistent themes we hear among the three of them is consistency in what they do and what they use, and I'm also similar in that I'm always using a tool when I disciple people. I have about 15 to 20 tools that in my toolkit, if you will. And usually what I'm just asking the Lord is what tool is appropriate for today. And I can think of a specific situation where there was a gentleman and he called me and he was pretty distraught and he was ready to end his marriage. He was really angry and he was really hurt. And I said, okay, well, let's meet here at this particular time and get together. And I didn't know what I was going to do or say. So my prayer is, Lord, what's the tool? And then once I knew what the tool was, I asked, what's the passage? Because the particular tool was the 6-column Bible study. And for that, it doesn't have a consistent passage. And so I asked him, the Lord gave me just Psalm 23. And I was like, well, that's so common and so basic and vague, but I'm going to trust the Spirit. And so we get together and he's just kind of pouring everything out. And I said, the best thing that I can do for you in this moment is facilitate an opportunity to hear from the Lord. And that's what the majority of the tools that I do, that I use, is they help facilitate an opportunity for the person to hear from the Lord. So I took him through the 6-column Bible study. For context, it's column one is you take the passage and you write it out verbatim. Column two is you have them write it out in their own words, not what it teaches or what it means, but you're just almost like you're taking it from one translation to another, from ESV to NLT, something like that. And then column two and three and four are the same or similar. What does this teach you about God? What does this passage teach you about yourself? Column six, I know I intentionally jumped over five. Six is just a section for notes. It's anything and everything you feel like the Lord is saying to you in the moment. Oftentimes it has nothing to do with the passage. It's just the Lord saying, now that I have your attention, I have some things I'd like to talk to you about. And then column five is where they create an I will statement. That's where we get that last aspect of the flexible framework, if you will. And so he goes through it, and I think we spend about 45 minutes going through it. I'm doing my own 6-column. He's doing his own. And he did not want to do this. He just wanted to talk. He just wanted to vent. He just wanted me to give him advice. And I said, what you need most is to hear from the Lord. And so at the end of our time, the summation of it was that he believed that a difficult marriage was God's will for his life. He went from, I am absolutely done, to I am in the center of God's will in this marriage. Now, I could have said that to him, but it's much different when you say something to someone than when the Lord says something to someone. And so it was extremely transformational. And I think that whatever you do, you want to get them into that space where before they leave, they're not just hearing from you, but they're clear about hearing from God. And so if I could leave anything with you, because whatever tool or whatever practice or whatever method you use, the one thing that we can all adopt and requires little to no change is incorporating an I will statement.
Q&A, right?
Sure.
It's Q&A, yeah.
All right, well, I think, let's find out what we have here. Oh, I have a summary slide. Do you want me to read it?
Yeah.
All right. Discipleship can look a lot of different ways depending on the situation and the needs of the individuals, kind of like was demonstrated here. It's simple. It's not always easy. But faithfulness is worth it. We're just here to plant and water. So again, back to those key elements of prayer, the word, personal counseling, and ministry coaching. See if you can put that into practice in your own ministries.